Hello, Hope Astoria. It is great to get to speak with you guys again this week. Well, as we begin, let's open with just a brief word of prayer. Would you join with me? Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity to receive from your word. Lord, we open our hearts to you. We say we want all that you have for us. Would you soften and prepare our hearts? And Holy Spirit, we say, come and have your way in us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been in a sermon series entitled Growing in Prayer, where we've looked together at different ways that we can engage in prayer, including lament, confession, and adoration. Today, we're going to wrap up our series by talking about one of the most common forms of prayer. In fact, it's so common that even folks who aren't sure if God exists or not will still engage in this kind of prayer when desperate enough, and that is supplication. Supplication. What is supplication? It's simply sharing all our requests with God, asking Him for help, direction, provision, and that could be for ourselves or for others. Now, for some of us, this is a no-brainer. 99% of our prayers are supplication, and we might do well to try to incorporate more time for some of the other forms of prayer that we've talked about. But for others of us, there could perhaps be a little hesitation. How do I know if I'm praying for the right things? Are some things too small or too selfish to bother God about? Well, thankfully, Scripture addresses these questions quite clearly, and we can start our conversation today with an encouraging passage from Ephesians 3, which says this: In Him, that is Christ, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. As we pray, it's great to know that we're invited to approach God with confidence, and really, it's the confidence that children would have with a great, loving parent. I heard a story from a friend recently that he and his four siblings, when they were little, would gather in the hallway and all purposefully cry out, "Mama, Mama," when their mom was in the bathroom, which was her only moment of privacy from her five children. He says that not only did they do this when they were little, but now that he and his siblings are all grown up, they still do this sometimes just to tease his mom, whom, of course, they love dearly. It's the joy of being a child and the privilege that kids have to cry out to their parents at any time. And if you're a parent, I'm sure you're thinking of your own experiences of this complete inhibition. It's actually a part of the closeness of the bond that kids have that kind of access. And it's appropriate in that a child is dependent on their parent and is supposed to cry out to them for their needs. Babies are born to cry because they're truly not sufficient on their own. It's appropriate for them to cry. And so we too are not sufficient on our own. We need and depend on our Heavenly Father as much as any tiny infant depends on their human parent. And so it's appropriate for us to cry out to God. And thankfully, we're told to have no hesitation. Christ has made a way for us, and God is infinite. Thank goodness He's never too busy or runs out of resources the way that we human parents can. Phew. In fact, we're told repeatedly throughout Scripture to come to God with all our needs. Here are just a few of the scriptures that instruct us to pray prayers of supplication. Philippians 4:6 says this: Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And Ephesians 6:18 says this: And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And when Jesus is asked by his disciples to teach them how to pray, he tells them to pray this way in Matthew chapter 6. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Now clearly in these passages and many others, we're told to pray for what we need, for others, and for God's work. We are clearly and emphatically encouraged to ask God for all manner of things. And there's an expectation that as we pray, our prayers matter, that they'll do something, that they'll impact not only us, but the world around us. There's a confidence in Scripture that our supplication, our taking the time to ask God's help and intervention, makes a difference. And here's what it says in a very famous passage from James. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. As we see faithful people in the Bible pray, whether Jesus, his disciples, or others, and as we see from scriptures like this one we just read in James, there's an expectation that our prayers change things, and that God uses our prayers, our ordinary prayers, to bring about the things he wants to see happen. So here's my question for you today. Do you believe that your prayers matter? That when you pray, something changes? I remember when I was a kid growing up, my best friend shared with me about a conversation she had just had with a young man from another country. And it made enough of an impression on me that I still remember it, literally decades later. So this young man was studying for a really critical exam. It was like maybe an entrance exam or something like that. And he prepared diligently. And then when he took the test, he realized while he was taking it that he was running out of time, that there was no way he was going to finish. He had a significant chunk left. So he said to himself, "This is a very important exam. I must use my time wisely. I must pray." I don't remember the exact time, so it was something like if he had 10 minutes left, he spent the vast majority. He spent like 9 minutes praying and then 1 minute randomly bubbling in the rest of the answers. And in his case, he actually did well and was able to come to school in the U.S. and he gives glory and honor to God for that. And that story struck me profoundly at the time that I heard it, because it went so much against the grain of what, in all honesty, I probably would have done if I were in his shoes. As a serious student myself at the time, I would have taken every last moment I had to get through as many questions as I could, give that test my best shot, and what I saw as my best shot. But here's this young man, and he really believed to the core of his being that the wisest thing he could do was to spend that valuable time in prayer. That really convicted and challenged me about where I put my trust. So I ask all of us again, myself included, do you believe that your prayers matter? That as you pray, something supernatural happens, things change, and the real world is impacted? I think for many of us, there's perhaps a mix of both yes and no in our hearts. Now, yes, on one hand, we read passages like this one in James, and we believe that prayer can be very powerful. But no, we're not always so sure about our prayers. Maybe other people's prayers, historic prayers, the concept of prayer in general, sure, it carries power, it matters. But when it comes to our life and our actual personal prayer times, we might not be quite as confident that our prayers are really doing anything, that they matter as we pray on a day-to-day basis. Because it feels kind of crazy to compare ourselves to Elijah. I mean, most of us haven't started or stopped a drought through our prayers. And so we might be tempted to think, well, maybe this passage applies once you become holy enough and a good enough person like Elijah. The irony of that, of course, is that means we're actually skipping over the part of the passage that literally says Elijah was a person just like us. Or, you know, perhaps we're hesitant to have faith because we've prayed and we've been disappointed. Or maybe we've grown weary from praying a long time for certain things where we haven't seen change yet. And we might truly wonder in real humility whether we're praying for the right things or not. No, is this what God wants us to pray? And so all of those things might cause us to hesitate, to really pray with faith, with confidence that our prayers are making a difference. And then, last but not least, you know, there's just always the temptation to simply believe, well, if God wants it done, he'll do it with or without me. I mean, he's God. And with that little thought, the enemy plants this insidious lie that your prayers don't really matter, and that therefore your lack of prayer also doesn't really matter. And just like that, in a flash, the enemy can steal, destroy all the good that God wants to bring about through your prayers and through the prayers of his people. That lie flies in the face of what we're clearly told in Scripture, which is that the prayers of ordinary people, that's you and me, carries power. So how can we raise our faith that what Scripture says really is true and overcome some of our ambivalence? Because our ambivalence and our questions are actually quite understandable. Well, I hope that as we talk together today, we can gain some clarity about supplication that might help to raise our faith. So as we dive in, let's start by naming that when we supplicate, when we come to God with our requests and our petitions, we could engage in at least two different activities. Okay, we could engage in conversation, and we could engage in cooperation. Okay, conversation and cooperation. And in any given supplication prayer time, we could do both, or we could just do one or the other. Now, I'm going to touch briefly on conversation, and then we're going to spend the bulk of our time today, the remainder of our time, looking at cooperation. So, in conversation, we simply pour out all that's on our heart to God and hear back from Him about it. Okay? We pour out questions, desires, we ask for His guidance, His intervention, and then He responds to us as He will, as in any relationship. He can say anything. He can say yes, no, wait. He might ask us a question. He might just be quiet and still. He might say that he really wants to talk to us about an entirely different topic that's more important to him. No, it's a real relationship, and God responds as He will. Now, in conversation, as we supplicate in this personal way, we're welcomed and encouraged to share our real heart with God. You know, we see that throughout the Psalms. And, you know, we can ask God for anything. And the answer could be anything as well. God will respond as He wills. You know, it might not always be yes. So, for example, we see King David, after he commits adultery and murder, earnestly praying that God would change his mind about some of the consequences of David's sin. God says no, and David accepts that. But God does not rebuke David for his prayers. David's welcome to ask. And, of course, there are plenty of stories in Scripture of people entreating God and God saying yes as well. Now, I think a lot of our experience with supplication falls into this category of talking with God, conversation. We pour out our hearts to Him, recognizing our dependence on Him, and we accept His response, which could be yes or no or any number of things. Right? We may or may not get the specific things we're praying for, but we always get intimacy with God and a growing, loving relationship with Him as we talk with Him in this honest and active way. And as we do, we get to know His heart and His character. We get better at discerning His voice, His responses to us. We're changed by our interactions with Him to become more like Him. And there are also plenty of times where He says yes, or He provides helpful guidance, or He brings peace. There's so much good in supplication that's like this, that's conversational in nature. Okay, so that's conversation. We have some understanding of conversation. And so now let's switch gears and talk about cooperation. Remember again that I mentioned that when we supplicate, we could engage in either or both of these activities, conversation and cooperation. And because I think we're probably less familiar with cooperation, I'm going to spend the bulk of our time today, our remaining time today, talking about it. Now, when we pray, bringing all our requests before God, we're called to not only converse with God and enjoy relationship, but we're called to also help bring about what God desires on earth through our prayers, whether for ourselves or for others. Again, in the scriptures we looked at earlier, Jesus tells us to pray for God's will to be done and God's kingdom to come. In Ephesians, we're told to keep on praying for all the saints and not give up. And we see that Elijah prayed for it to stop raining and then for it to start raining again, according to God's will of what God desired to see happen. God uses the prayers of His people to accomplish His will on earth. As the famous minister John Wesley said, God does nothing but an answer to prayer. Our prayers are meant to actually change things for the better here on earth. It's not only meant to be a time for us to chat with God, although that's very valuable, as we just discussed. But there's also meant to be work done through our prayer that we're called to do in cooperation with God according to His will. God wants to use our prayers to accomplish His purposes. Now, as we think about that, you might wonder, how does this work? Why do our prayers matter when God is almighty and all-knowing? I want to spend a little time addressing that because I think those questions can kind of drain our motivation to pray if we leave them unanswered. When God created people, He created us to be His representatives on earth, to operate with authority that He's delegated to us. We see in Genesis that He tells mankind to rule over every living thing. And the Bible says that we're created in His image. We're meant to reflect God here on earth as His stewards. And what we see in Scripture is that despite the fall of mankind, God still seems to want to operate through and perhaps restore the chain of command that He originally set up, in which He directs, leads, and uses people as His hands and feet, as His stewards to accomplish what He desires in the world. And so what we see in the narrative arc of all of Scripture, in story after story of Scripture, is not a God who wants to accomplish his will apart from the activity of people, but rather we see a God raising up faithful people through whom he works throughout history. We see him working through people. We see him raising up people who go where he tells them to go, who will lead as he directs them, and who will pray as he directs them. And we're told in the Bible that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of evil. And we're called to fight that spiritual battle through prayer. So God is looking to work through people, and he's looking to work specifically through our prayers to fight that spiritual battle, just as surely as he's looking to work through our leadership or our giving or our service or anything else. In addition, God has created us with free will, and so we can help or harm others through what we choose to do. In the physical world, if we decide to walk by someone who's collapsed on the ground, or if we decide to help them, it matters. It might make the difference between life and death. And we don't question that it matters. Of course it does. And so too in the spiritual realm, our prayers or lack thereof has impact as well, not only on ourselves, but on others. Whether or not we pray matters. And what we pray matters. Here's what the prophet Samuel says in 1 Samuel chapter 12 as he's speaking to the king. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. Guys, we're called to pray. Our prayers matter, and they make a difference not only for us, but for others as well. I remember at one point I was going through a particularly difficult season of life, just a stormy season. And during that season, there were a few people who approached me kind of out of the blue, folks I wasn't even close to, who had no idea what was going on, and they told me that they felt strangely burdened to pray for me. I was so surprised and grateful and encouraged because I needed those prayers. I felt like God was throwing me a lifeline. I was so grateful that they were faithful to pray as God was leading them, even though they didn't know my situation. In another story, I had a friend who, prior to my knowing her, experienced a very traumatic event in which she was assaulted, and during the assault, her life was in serious danger. And at the time, she was loosely attending a church kind of on the periphery of the community. But there was a woman in the church who came up to her shortly after this horrific event happened and said, "What happened to you at such and such a date and time? Because suddenly God just knocked me on my feet to pray for you." My friend was shocked because it was the exact time that this terrible thing had happened. And there was definitely no way that this woman could have known that. My friend wasn't too sure if God was real or not at the time, but when she heard this woman share that, she felt like God was showing her that he was working through this woman's prayers to save her life. That's kind of a dramatic story, but you know, these are all completely ordinary people, folks I've chatted with. It's kind of crazy to think, but God uses our prayers. He used my prayers. He uses your prayers to accomplish his will. Not just someone else's prayers, not just Elijah's prayers, your prayers matter. Well, from everything we see in the Bible about prayer, it's clearly viewed as an act that carries power, that changes things. We are called to discern what God's doing and to join with him in it. Jesus says he only ever did what he saw his Father doing. We're called to grow in our understanding of God's character and his will so that we can cooperate with him in every way, including prayer. And it's possible to pray with confidence and effectiveness this way as we mature and grow. A clear place to start with this is with things that are plainly stated in Scripture that we know are God's will. For example, for people to come to know the Lord, for what's good and right and just to occur, for wisdom, for God's hand on our leaders. These are all things that we know God desires, and we're clearly told in Scripture to pray for them. So we can pray for them knowing that our prayers are making a difference, that we're in agreement with the Lord. And we can also grow in our discernment. As we spend time with God and the conversational prayer we talked about earlier, we can get to know God's yeses and nos and his responses to us. And in Scripture, we can come to know God's character, his names, what the Bible tells us are his desires and attributes. And all of that together can help us to grow in praying as God would desire for particular situations, whether for ourselves or for others. We can pray in line with who God is, his character. And we can pray with confidence. In his classic book, A Celebration of Discipline, the author and pastor, Richard Foster, reminds us that we never see Jesus or his disciples praying, "If it's your will, God," when they're supplicating, when they're praying for others. There are occasions when it could be appropriate for us to pray if it's your will. For example, if we're conversing with God about our own lives and we sense God inviting us to let go of something. But again, when we study scripture, we don't actually see Jesus or his disciples ever praying, "If it's your will, God," when they pray for others. Rather, what we see is them discerning what God's will is, praying in faith for that, and then what they pray for happens. That's the model they provide for us, and that's what we're called to as well. So absolutely, we want God's will, not our human will, as we pray in faith. And yes, it's appropriate to acknowledge that we're human and fallible in our discernment of God's will. We should always recognize that. And yet, even with all of that being true, what we're called to is what Jesus and his disciples model for us. We're called to discern to the best of our ability how to pray and just, you know, do the best we can with that. And then we're called to pray out in faith, believing that our prayers are making a difference, knowing that our prayers make a difference. We're called to not only converse with God, but also to cooperate with God, to help bring about what he wants to accomplish on earth through our prayer. And if we're really concerned about whether or not we're praying for the right thing, then let's put in the effort to grow in discernment. You can take the time to listen when you pray, ask for God's help to be able to discern, and make a point to practice. It's one of those things that sounds mysterious, but it's really not. You can just practice and you'll grow in it. And a lot of times it's just about quieting down enough to feel how God might be, you know, kind of in the quiet of our hearts, nudging us to perhaps pray for someone or pray in a particular way. God wants to use your prayers to change things in the world, in your life and in people and institutions and situations that your life intersects with. And as we come to understand and believe that there's power as we pray, that your prayers, again, not just other people's prayers, your prayers make a substantial difference. Let's allow that conviction to motivate us with joy to pray. Let's understand that there's responsibility that comes with that reality and own it. It is horribly upsetting to me that in politics and other settings, maybe even in some Christian settings, the phrase, "you're in my thoughts and prayers," is actually associated with a lack of care, with just giving lip service to something. That kind of association actively insults what prayer is. It makes me angry that the enemy uses our human brokenness and superficiality to associate prayer with inactivity. First of all, prayer and other kinds of action go hand in hand. Right? We need both. We really shouldn't have one without the other. And secondly, prayer in itself is not trite. When truly offered, it is a labor of love. It's an intentional offering of time and effort and cooperation with God to bring about his good on earth. If we love people, we should pray. If we care about a cause, we should pray. If we're concerned about a situation, whether in our lives or someone else's, we should pray. As Christians, we should remember that we're engaged in not just the material world, but in a spiritual battle. And if we want to grow in love and become more like God, we also should pray. There's nothing like prayer to change our hearts, because as we pray, we're coming into agreement with God. We're cooperating with him. We're allowing his vision to become our own. And God is love. So if we're cooperating with God in prayer and allowing him to direct our prayers, to create the change that he wants to see happen, then we should find ourselves increasingly motivated by love and filled with love. That's who God is. As it says in 1 Corinthians 13:2, if we have faith that we can move mountains but don't have love, it's nothing. It amounts to nothing. So let's participate in God's love by praying for others. As Samuel says, let's not sin against God by failing to pray. Let's not let ourselves off the hook by thinking that our prayers don't matter that much. That's a lie. Your prayers matter. You can impact situations and people through your prayers. Right? That should make us sit up a bit. That should light a bit of a fire in us to pray. So as we wrap up today, I want to leave you with a couple questions to reflect on. The first is, who do you feel called to pray for? Who do you love? Who are you burdened for? Would you take a moment and just jot down a few names and commit to praying for them? Know that as you do, it makes a difference in their lives. I have a prayer partner who's a counselor, and in an appropriate way that didn't disclose any identifying information, she shared with me that she had a case that had hit quite an impasse, and she asked for prayer. So we prayed for God's presence and work in her client's life. And the client actually came back and told my friend that they felt her prayers, that that week it was easier to fight depression, to move towards their goals in a way that just hadn't been the case for quite a while. You know, prayers, ordinary prayers, make a real difference in people's experience of life. My second question to you is this. Are there any situations that you feel called to pray for? What comes to mind? It could be something very broad, joining your prayers with those of Christians around the world and praying for the pandemic to end or for justice to happen, or it could be something personal. Just take the time to jot down a few people who are on your heart and any causes or situations you want to pray for. Don't overwhelm yourself. Try to just keep it to your top two or three in each category, especially if you're newer to this. And you don't have to cover all of them every day. You could rotate through them, praying for different ones each day. But I do want to encourage you to commit to some kind of rhythm of praying regularly, even if it's just for a few minutes. Pick a time in your daily schedule. Ideally, set aside a time, or if you don't feel quite up to that yet, then maybe, you know, do it every time you brush your teeth or every time you do the dishes or whatever it might be. Just pick something that you commit to. And when it comes time, don't worry if you don't feel like it. Just start praying. It's one of those things where, you know, you just want to take the plunge, dive on in. It gets easier once you've gotten started. So don't wait until you feel like it to start. Just start. If you're wanting to pray for some of the broader needs of the city together with others, we have intercessory prayers at church every Friday at 7:30 for an hour and change. You can just email me for the Zoom link. And as we wrap up today, let's close by hanging on to what we're told in Scripture in Luke 18, which is that we should always pray and not give up. We should always pray and not give up. For surely God hears, and change will occur as a result of our prayers. Guys, God welcomes us to talk with Him freely as His sons and daughters, to make our requests and enjoy conversation with Him. And God wants us to cooperate with Him in prayer. He wants to accomplish His purposes through our prayers. He wants to change things for the better through your prayers. Will you let Him? Will you believe that your prayers matter today? Let's pray as we close today. Jesus, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You've made a way for us to approach You without any inhibitions, with confidence, with freedom. And that You invite us to pour out all our requests, all our prayers, our desires, our questions to You. Thank You, Lord, that we can have that kind of intimacy with You as our loving Father, that we can talk with You and get to know You. And Lord, we pray, would You help us to create space in our lives, to commune with You this way, and to grow in faith. Help us, Lord, to grow in discernment of Your will and of what Your urging us to pray for, whether it's people, whether it's situations, and the manner in which You want us to pray. Help us to know Your character, Your heartbeat, and grow us, Lord, in faith that we would pray according to Your will to cooperate with You in bringing about the things You want to bring about in this world. Lord, we believe, and would You raise our faith, Lord, that prayer matters, that our prayers make a difference. And Lord, would You help us to be faithful today and every day, to pray the way You desire us to make that difference You desire us to. God, thank You for the privilege it is to participate with what You're doing in this way. We worship You and we praise You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.